Coming up on The Potter's Touch.
The love of God is in between two sticks. One stick is holding a serpent, and the other one is holding the Savior. And the love of God is between the two. Loving somebody gives them the power to hurt you. It means I give you my shield. I have no defense against your words. When David and Jonathan meet together in the palace, and David gives Jonathan his shield, Jonathan gives David his shield, and he gives him his sword, he's saying, I am defenseless against you. So on one hand, love seen here is so beautiful that the writer has to modify the noun with so. Not God loved the world, but God so loved the world. The intensity of God, I can't even talk about it. See, I won't finish today. The intensity of God, whatever God feels, he feels to a maximum capacity. God has great feeling. Like in the Old Testament, when it says God was wroth, the word wroth in Hebrew means anger with fire. Means my nostrils are ablaze, I'm so angry. I'm wroth. Whatever he feels to a strong degree. To the same degree of his anger is the same degree of his love. God so loved that when I look at the cross, I see blood and I see bruising. And Isaiah said his entrails were hanging out and there was no beauty about him that we should desire him. And I see a horrific sight, and he calls it in the book of Acts, after his passion. I do not see passion, I see pain. But then I realized that passion is pain. You'll get that tomorrow. Okay. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, if such a so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, has now handcuffed the snake and the Savior. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall, there's handcuffs, the Son of Man be lifted up. Now the serpent is a symbol of evil. He enters in the book of Genesis on the pages of the writ as an ambassador of treachery. He is a venomous character that is infiltrated by the presence of Satan to beguile the woman out of her position and ultimately the man out of his place so that he might have dominion, so that Satan might have dominion in this present world. And he does it by embodying himself in a serpent. So we are introduced biblically to the serpent as a role, as a animal that is possessed by a spirit. And Moses has lifted him up in the wilderness. And the writer of the gospel, St. John, now compares the lifting up of the snake to the crucifixion of the Savior. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And then he goes on to talk about for God. So in order to understand why the word for is there, we have to look at this dichotomous union between the snake and the serpent. Can we go deeper with this? The love of God is sandwiched between two moments of intense chastening. One with Moses lifting up the snake, and the other with Christ being crucified on the cross, is also God acting in justice, because Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. Christ, who never committed adultery, became adultery for us. Christ, who was never a liar, became a lie for us. Notice how I'm separating the verb from the noun. It's not that he did it, he became, he embodied it, so that when he was smitten of God, God sees what he is carrying, even though he himself has done no wrong at all. Do you see what I'm saying? So he wasn't a cheater, but he became cheating. So that when you come to the altar with your cheating self and lay your sins out on the altar, he can say, I covered that too. 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 Have you ever had an insurance policy and found out you were insured for everything but what you got? And they say, you're not covered for that. You got to pay for that. You got to pay for that. And I think, why do I have insurance if you're not going to pay for nothing? There is nothing you can bring to the altar that Christ didn't cover. They didn't hear me. I'm going to try y'all. There is nothing you can bring to the altar that Christ didn't cover. He paid it all. He paid it all. He paid it all. Sin has left a crimson stain and he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain and he washed it white as snow. He became everything that embodied whatever you might want to confess or talk about. He becomes that. And hence, he becomes compared to the snake who brought us sin. And Christ on the cross becomes sin. When he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and says, Father, oh, Father, if it be thy will, pass this bitter cup away from me. I don't think it was the nails that bothered him. I don't think the nails bothered the carpenter's son. It was to become sin. The very thing that God hated, to become that for us. Pass this bitter cup. Why would he be worried about a death he knew he would get up from? He had said, if you destroy the temple in 3 days, I'll raise it back up again. So I'm not worried about it. I'm going to get stuck in the grave. But to take on sin is to be out of rhythm with my Father. And I always please him. Father, if it be thy will, I don't want to be the bad son. Pass this bitter cup from me. He became sin for us. He became sin for us. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, drives us back to Numbers 21, 4 through 9, because we have to figure out how Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, because if he is the metaphor through which we understand the cross, then we need to look at the metaphor. Are you with me? Let's go. And they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, how tough it was. And the people spake against God, and they spake against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Look at your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. Yeah, watch your mouth, watch your mouth, watch your mouth, watch your mouth. Your mouth can get you in more trouble. Your mouth can get you in debt. Your mouth can get you in relationships you don't want. Your mouth can cause you to buy stuff you can't afford. Your mouth can cause you to offend people that you're going to need. Watch your mouth, watch your mouth. Most of the trouble comes in your life is going to come through your mouth. It's what comes out of a man that defiles him. Watch your mouth, watch your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Watch your mouth. The power of life and death is in your tongue. Watch your mouth. They spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us? They questioned God's integrity. They questioned his impulse. They questioned his love. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die? You are accusing God of being diabolical? Antagonistic, that he has some evil plot against you? You didn't question Pharaoh. Isn't it funny that the same people that didn't have enough nerve to rebel against Pharaoh have complete nerve to rebel against God? And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We don't like what you cooked for dinner. Petty praise. Lord, my husband's only 5'4", and I told you plainly I want 6'1". Petty praise. Praise. If I had a raise, I would stay. But Lord, forget purpose. If I don't get a raise, I'm out of here. Petty praise. Petty praise. I'm not saying if you can do better for yourself, you ought not do better for yourself. But don't be for hire. Ooh, got quiet. I'm going to get away here. And the Lord sent, not Moses, these are his children, these are his people, they are out in the wilderness, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. That's not real soft. That's not, I'm gonna take your cell phone away for 3 days. That's not time out. Go to your room. I'm not saying you should go home and kill your kids either. Now, wait. I don't want to be responsible for that. But I want you to understand the severity that God executes on them. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord." I guess they did come. Now that you bit. Now that these serpents have come out in the wilderness and bit you and half of you are dead, now you want to come to Moses. They come and "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you." You didn't say nothing before. Isn't it funny how people repent after the fact? Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And this is where I fall in love with Moses all over again. And Moses prayed for the people. Sometimes you're asking to be Moses, but you don't have the heart of a Moses. Moses prayed for the people who resisted his leadership and fought everything he was trying to do, and then he saw them in need and prayed for them. I have noticed that God has a tendency to use people with big hearts. People like Joseph, who could forgive his brothers that threw him naked into a pit and sold him like a slave and disrupted the bigger part of his youth. And Joseph could forgive them. People like Jesus, who could be nailed to a tree and be praying for the people who nailed him. A big heart. There are some big-hearted people in the room. Are there any big-hearted people in the room? What is solid in you? Are you a protector? Are you a provider? Are you creative? Are you thoughtful? What about you has matured to the point of having the God code? Because that will determine how your story ends. That is what maturity is. Maturity is consistency. I go to work when I feel like it. I go to work when I don't feel like it. I preach when I want to preach. I preach when I don't want to preach. I get on the plane when I want to get on the plane. I get on the plane when I got to get on the plane. I got to do what I got to do. If I got to walk, I got to walk. It hurts, but I got to do it. What part of you has moved beyond your mood? Because that is the only part of you that is the God factor. Yes. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Wait a minute, Lord. Make a serpent? I can make a lot of stuff. I can make bread. I can make a tent. You know, I can make a lot of stuff. I can make furniture. Make a serpent? I'm not you. I don't do that. You make serpents. I don't make serpents. I can't make serpents. It's not on my job description. You should put that down when you. I don't make serpents. He says, no, make him out of brass. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. Now, here is where you must read into the text. You must read into the text in order to exegete the text. You must read into the text that the brass has to be beaten. The brass cannot be formed into a serpent if it is not beaten and shaped and fire applied to it and heat applied to it. And fire represents judgment. And you've got to recognize that with the very before he ever even lifted it up, that the brass had gone through agony before it was lifted up. And when you see that, then you can see that they plucked the beard from Jesus' face. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They abused him and ostracized him and spat on him before he ever was lifted up. But the power was not in the suffering alone. It was in the lifting up. For he said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. So the serpent was made while it was down low, but it didn't heal anybody down low. It came to pass that if any man looked on the serpent once it was lifted up, it should be healed. Where they made the mistake wasn't just with plucking his beard or beating his stomach until his entrails were hanging out. Where they made the mistake wasn't just in spitting on him or casting lots for his garment. Where they made the big mistake was when they lifted him up. Because he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Do you hear what I'm saying? They lifted him high so that no matter how low I am on the ground, that if I could just look up, I don't even have to be able to get up. If I can look up, I want to talk to somebody that's down so low that you can't get up. You might not be able to get up, but if you can look up, God is so high that if you can look up right now, he can change your situation. He can change your finances. He can change your life. And so what God does with Moses, he says, I'm going to make practice out of this. Because what you're doing is only a shadow of what I'm going to do. So beat the brass, because he's going to be wounded for their transgressions, and he's going to be bruised for their iniquities. This is bruised love. This is bruised love. A price has got to be paid. Justice has got to be satisfied. I can't let them get away. I got to beat something. If I can't beat them, I got to beat a substitute, because they opened their mouth. Now somebody has got to be beaten. And Christ was saying, I didn't do anything, but I was wounded. I was bruised. I was beaten. Why? Because you were bitten. And then they lifted him up. When you lift something up high enough, like if you stand right now, people can't see around you. But if that's why we have a pulpit. Because if I'm lifted high enough, no matter how short somebody is. So Christ was lifted high enough so that the person laying on the ground could still look up and see him. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, if you remember when I was preaching on Bruce Love last time, I talked about rib cages. So the ribs are the bones that that protect the heart. And there are two ribs in the text. You right with me, ain't you? Moses has lifted up the serpent, and Christ has been crucified on the cross. And in between it is God so loved. Y'all didn't get it. God so loved the world. So the guardrails are the love of God is in between two sticks. One stick is holding a serpent, and the other one is holding the Savior. And the love of God is between the two. Watch this. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So God so loved the world. Ooh, wait a minute. Not the church. See, you great at loving the church, but God so loved. The world. Here come the church, that whosoever believeth. Now we're getting into a special class of people. Whosoever believeth is the called out ones that become the church. But he had enough love to include you. These parallels cover the heart of God. One final thing. Why did God have him to make a serpent when they were bitten by a serpent? Because the vaccine is made from the venom. So he took the very thing that was killing me. He took the very thing that had bit me. This is why Christ had to become sin, because the cure is made from the venom. So he couldn't deliver me as righteousness. He had to become sin to cure sin. So he became what I was bitten with, so that if I looked on him, I could be healed from the infection of sin that was in my life. So when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, oh, see, y'all ain't done no mess. That's why y'all ain't got no praise. But to all the people who have done some filthy, dirty, low-down, stinking stuff that you still don't want nobody to know about, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, thank you for saving me. Thank you for sparing me. Thank you for raising me. Thank you for lifting me. Thank you for a second chance. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you for a fresh start. Open your mouth and give God some. Give God. Give. So, final point, final close, I think. What started the problem in the Old Testament is that they did not believe that God could take care of them in the wilderness. What cures in the New Testament is he that believeth. You trying to do all this other stuff to earn your way in. And if you change your belief system, you would change. Do you hear me? If you change your belief system, if you change your belief system, it'll change your finances. If you change your belief system, it'll change your future. If you change your belief system, it'll change your friendships. If you change your belief system, it'll change your association. If you change your belief system, it'll change how you carry yourself. If you change your belief system, it'll change how you interact with people. If you change your belief system, it'll change what you pay attention to and what you ignore. The power to change everything is down inside of you. He did the lifting. Now you got to do the looking. You know what I told all my children? I don't care what you do. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you become. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how terrible it is. You can always come home.
See the legacy of God's enduring goodness in your family. For your gift of any amount, you'll receive the Stronger Together Family Album with space to display your favorite family photos and document your testimonies.
Wherever you are, wherever your heart is, that's your home.
For your gift of $110 or more, enhance the togetherness of family meals with the Stronger Together Cutting Board and five favorite Jake's Family recipes, in addition to the family album.
Thank you for 41 years of making it easy for me to come home.
Remember your good moments and pray through the bad. Call or click today. Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Dungeon.